They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. It's a cold, snowy day up here in Northern Virginia. It's also Valentine's Day, and my favorite Valentine is on the phone with me and joining us right here on the Commons, Julio Rabina. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Sue, and happy Valentine's to you, dear. And I hope everyone listening today is in love.
We're all in love. We're all in love. Even though it's snowy and nasty over here, we're still in love.
That's great. Great. Great.
Julio, you were a representative in Florida's legislature for a number of years. I think you were the sweetheart of everybody in Florida and, well, almost everybody in Florida. And certainly all the homeowners across the country were very jealous of Florida for having you on their side. And you vowed at the time that you were going to do everything you could to protect homeowners and condo owners in Florida. And you did a yeoman's job while you were in there.
Thank you.
You also managed to get some legislation enacted that supposedly would provide a little adult supervision in Florida for the condo owners. And can you tell us how that worked out?
Well, thank you first and foremost for allowing me to speak today on a special day like this. But I worked on condo association, homeowner association, timeshare, and co-op laws in Florida from 2002 through 2010. And we were able to pass, I did in my lifetime, over 38 changes to law in several bills. So we did do a lot to protect some of the communities, but this is Florida and this is association living at its worst. There's so much to do, and we left a lot of things on the table. And it's funny because in 2008, the governor of the state of Florida at that time, Governor Charlie Crist, and the Speaker of the House, which you guys will also know his name, Marco Rubio, allowed me to be the chair of a committee to travel the entire state of Florida and to listen to all Floridians that lived in an association to tell us the horror stories, what were the problems and what we needed to do. And at that time, we convened a special committee. We went around the state of Florida. Those who know Florida, this is a huge and long state. We got a lot of information. We compiled at the end of our travels a report on not only the problems, but also thanks to a lot of people like yourselves that understand this firsthand, they gave us a lot of ideas for solutions, and we created what is now known as the 2008 Condo Task Force report on the problems in associations and suggestions on how to improve them. Well, again, we were able to take some of those suggestions, but not all of them, but nothing else had been done since we accomplished passing the last big piece of legislation in 2008. So mind you, again, 2008, no other representative had taken it up. No one had done anything. Now we're going to fast forward to last year, 2016 and 2017. Luckily, the media here in Florida decided to start doing a bunch of stories on how bad it has gotten with fraud and manipulating of associations in Florida, and it became so popular that several reporters won awards for their reporting, and it finally got our state attorney here excited to do her job and to file charges, and now we finally have got some arrests. And just last week, I think this is going to be a good topic for our discussion today, the grand jury convened here in Miami-Dade County to do an investigation on how bad, you know, the issues were in these associations. And they came out with a 37-page report that looked like it was modeled, or as we say, cut and pasted from the same report that we got in 2008. So they found out that the same things haven't changed. It's the same problems from almost 8 years ago. And now they're going back to the legislature with the report from the grand jury, a lot of pressure from the local media, a state attorney who wants to finally start prosecuting, and lawmakers that want to try to change association laws again, do a major rewrite or a major reform now in the 2017 session that starts at the end of the month.
So are you going to be involved with any of this? I think it's fair to say that you're no longer a legislator, but you, in fact, are a manager. You own a management company with a partner.
That's correct. And to answer your question, I never stopped being involved, Shu. I still have been called since I left the legislature in 2010, year after year. I get calls from all around the state. I continue to help people, no charge, pro bono, helping out with the problems from election fraud to mismanagement to lack of Robert's Rules of Order, fraud, you name it. And it's funny because I am involved, and I am one of the ones that is still helping these new lawmakers come up with the wording for the new laws and changes to law that exist. And I also, in my free time, which I don't know where it is, I found time to work with our own Miami-Dade County Commission, which has got nothing to do with an association law, but they do have their own police department, and they do have an economic crimes unit. And I was able to convince the whole county commission to create what they call a condo and association fraud task force, where they've detached police officers that did economic crime investigations, and now they're dedicated only to investigate issues that have to do with association fraud and mismanagement. And I'll be glad to tell you they've started about 6 months ago as a pilot program, and they already have over 5 arrests from people that are on the board, property management companies, which basically there needs to be some reform on management companies and who can be managers, and of course the proverbial changing of laws to put more teeth in the law to go after people that do things illegally.
That's sort of tweaking the edges, really. I mean, and it needs to be done. I keep coming back to the fact that do we need quite so much interference based on the fact that you have a condo? I know in Miami-Dade you have a lot of condominiums. And so everybody's going to say, well, we have the structure, and you have to have a management company, and you have to have all of the bells and whistles, basically, to maintain the building. And I understand that. But Julio, is there any way the fraud and the mismanagement and the theft and the embezzlement and the foreclosures, I mean, that's all a very separate issue, and I think that's what you're dealing with. But is there some way where you can just separate out the people management from the physical condo management? I mean, why do you need laws dictating whether or not what kind of bikini you can wear on the beach, and whether you can put a wreath on your front door, or, you know, anything along those lines? They're managing people, and you shouldn't have to manage people.
That's correct, and I will tell you that I agree, and I've said this many times, I don't see the need for any more laws or regulating. What I see is a need for enforcement.
Yes.
Let me repeat that. We can pass every law we want. We can create another 1,000 changes to law or create new laws, but if we don't have the enforcement side of it, Chu, I agree with you. We can continue to write legislation for the remainder of government as we see it, but it doesn't solve the problem. I think the deal is here is more along the lines of who do you have out there? What resources do you have out there when people do things unethically, illegally, and try to commit frauds? It's just too much government in the lives of individuals as it is, and more importantly, just way too many, call it, I guess what you may, government interference in associations, as we call it, the regulating of associations. Unfortunately, the way that the political world looks at it is that the only way they're going to protect these individuals that live in these communities, they have to stack on a whole bunch more laws and so forth. And I will tell you what I see, you are taking away their freedoms. You're creating almost communities that it's like living in a country where, you know, the government has full control and they can do whatever they want with you. That's one of the things that's wrong with the mentality of association living. I think if the enforcement part did what they had to do and they came in and cleaned up on the unethical, illegal, fraudulent actions of the board members or these companies, it would probably send a wave where, again, the what they call the knee-jerk reaction for more laws and more rules and regulations would probably stop if people would only learn to live, you know, within the respect that you need to have in a community that has, you know, common areas.
I went to one of the CAI's law seminars a number of years ago, and one of the attorneys had a presentation, and she said, you treat the homeowners like children. Board members are the parents. You deal with the parents. You ignore the children. You treat them like children. They don't know what's good for them. And that seems to be the way these people look at it. In the rest of the world, where we've had condos for a lot longer, and they're not condos with the legal structure that we have here, but you know, housing where you have a lot of people, it's the people who decide. It's the owners who get together once a year at an annual meeting, discuss the issues, direct the manager to do what they're going to do. They set the assessments. They set the what the dollar amount is or whatever their currency happens to be. They decide what needs to be done. They accept the bids. They choose the contractors, and the manager manages the business portion of it, not the people.
I agree with that, and that is some of the situations. You know, we do have communities that only meet once a year, and they have what you call ethical, well-versed, well-trained members of the board that understand their responsibility, and they run like clockwork, and it's exactly the way you explain it. Unfortunately, in Florida, you have a lot, the majority of our board members nowadays tend to be the people that have been retired and have moved to Florida and are the ones that are actually yelling and screaming for more regulation and more protection. And I do believe part of it has got to do because they really don't know what their responsibilities are. But let me go back to the statement. We do have communities that board members completely understand their role, are ethical, honest people, and there's no need but one that the annual meeting. That is basically all that's required by law. And these communities run fine. You never see complaints. You don't see problems. So it does happen, but it doesn't seem to be the norm anymore, especially here in the state of Florida.
Yeah, but then you add into the fact that you have this industry, a special interest industry, also known as the Community Associations Institute, commonly known as CAI, and they're making billions, with a B, of dollars off the backs of homeowners. A lot of them...
That's correct.
And a lot of them are going beyond the management aspect and beyond the fines aspect and beyond the charging outrageous sums of money for disclosure packages. But they're actually going after people's houses and foreclosing and taking those away from them. And there seems to be nothing to stop them.
And that is the problem. See, that is happening. I just was at an association meeting last week where the vice president came in, and he's a police officer, say the least, a law enforcement officer, as the vice president got into the community. He owned his property 2 years later, after a lot of manipulating of the two elections and so forth. This man has now been removed with a recall, but now owns 9 properties in the community. And these are properties that they claimed they weren't paying, and they leaned and foreclosed. And how did the vice president end up with 9 parcels or 9 units? This is the stuff that goes on in these unethical communities. So because the action of a few, the knee-jerk reaction is more laws, more laws, more laws. My mindset is the enforcement part. Let's start arresting people. Let's send the message out there. And I think that it will send a wave to start helping to clean up the problem in these associations.
How about the foreclosures? There's another story that's out of Florida. The foreclosure litigation strategy takes aim at seniors, attorneys say. And I think it's the most vulnerable in our society who seem to be targeted the most. And this is about Felicia El Hassan, a Cuban who lost her home in Cuba, came to Miami, and she's 86, and bought a house, and they're going after it. The attorneys who are foreclosing have been lying, misinforming, and doing all that. You know, all the wonderful stuff that liars or...
Well, let's talk about that. You said it earlier. You also understand that attorneys make a living. These
yes.
law firms dedicate themselves to associations. They thrive on this stuff. This is how they make their money. And they are the number one lobbyist to try to stop anything that may protect unit owners. Because why? They want to continue to make money. They want to continue to represent when there's problems in litigation. And remember that the law firms do the collections, the liens, the foreclosures, the demand letters. It's a big business. And while this continues to be a big business, not only for law firms, but also for management companies, which I'm looking this year to try to work to get more laws to make it tougher for someone to be a manager, to make it a point where if there's a bad manager, the state of Florida can remove their license just like you would a bad doctor, a bad lawyer. You can remove their license. How come we can't remove the license from bad managers in Florida? I think they've removed 2 licenses in the past 10 years.
So you have to be licensed in Florida to be a manager?
Absolutely. You've got to be a licensed CAM to be able to be a manager being paid by an association to manage it.
Who does the training, Julio?
The training is done normally by a private sector facility, which does the required, I think it's a 2-day course to be a CAM. Then there's a test that you take. And you can take the test as many times as you want. The tests are very simple to pass. So it's really a test that just about anybody can pass. Very simple. And the problem is there's so many of them getting into it nowadays because they know that there's going to be a way to make a fast buck. And that's what we're trying to stop here in the state of Florida.
Because I know some states, including Virginia, they require you to have a PCAM, a CCAM, a DCAM. Which means you have to get trained by CAI to get accredited by CAI, where that's the only place you're going to get that. And frankly, a lot of the information that's given out by CAI is not unbiased, And it's not designed basically to protect their industry, which I find incredibly stupid, but they're sort of geared more towards how they can line their own pockets. I mean, you said a while ago, attorneys make a living. I say attorneys make a killing of HOAs. They don't make a living. They make a killing.
They do. Well, that's another problem.
And if you have these same attorneys who are doing the training and training the managers, you know, you've got a target audience. You've got a captive audience there. They're going to be getting the kind of information and the kind of training that's just going to make it so much simpler for these attorneys to come in and clean up.
But you also need to understand that the majority of the people writing laws in Florida are attorneys. I am not an attorney. Let me put that out there. I am not an attorney. I think I'm one of the few people, and that's why I think I had the trust of both Democrats and Republicans to take the lead on condo and association law, homeowner association law in Florida, is because they trusted that I would not do it with a double meaning or double sense to write laws and then later have myself as myself or my buffet of attorneys live off of it. So it's another big problem. I think I'm probably one of the few lawmakers that wasn't an attorney and really did this because the citizens in Florida needed some type of protection from the other laws that had been written prior.
So you have the Trial Lawyers Association who seems to be running everything, including Washington, D.C., and we've seen what a mess that is and what a rat's nest it's become. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. But you see the same thing happening in all the states. You have the CAI attorneys who are writing all the laws in Virginia regulating, allegedly regulating associations, basically enabling associations to do with whatever they want. And the legislators have no idea. I mean, either they don't care, they've been bought off, or they're clueless. And it's a
well, let's explain that so that those that are listening need to understand that the people that are up at the Capitol giving money to these lawmakers who write the laws are the special interest groups, which are these attorneys, which are the lobbyists for the management companies. And the average Joe, even though they're the ones who get you elected and cast the votes, are not the ones lining the lawmakers' pockets with campaign money. So where do you think the support lies?
No, I understand it, and it's a mess. When you were termed out, and I think you ran for Senate, you had the entire industry out there fighting you because they didn't want you in the Senate.
That is correct.
They didn't
that
want you
correct.
In the Senate.
That's what happened.
And that is
and
why.
That's the price that I had to pay. But, you know, the thing is, you have to do the right thing, and you have to take it on. Sometimes you're going to be able to win and beat the 800-pound machine, which is what I took on. And, of course, none of them wanted me around. Matter of fact, the gentleman who got the election is a lobbyist himself and an attorney. That'll tell you everything. But, again, now we're changing the subject to what I always tell people in Florida, because now we're talking about elections and politics that goes on. People sometimes have what they deserve. Because, and I don't mean it in a derogatory form, if they don't get out and vote, whether it's to vote for your lawmakers, whether it's to vote for a board of directors in an association, so then the wrong element gets in, and this is the price we pay. It's like a vicious cycle that continues on and on and on. And that's why I always tell people, hey, don't complain. Did you vote during your election cycle? Did you go out and vote for your board members? Then you have what you deserve.
I think there's another problem, Julio, and that is honest reporting and sunshine, because so much information is false. So much information is hidden. So much, and people can't get it. There is absolutely no transparency in HOAs, in government, or anywhere. And if you rely on whether you're talking to board members, whether you're talking to anyone in an HOA office who's going to give you all kinds of misinformation because they have. They have an interest in a certain turnout. So I don't know where and how to deal with that. It's difficult. People are not going to make an entire career out of digging out the truth, because that's going to be too time-consuming. But the fact is, people are making decisions based on misinformation.
This is true.
I mean, it's a whole web of stuff. I don't even know where to start. It's like, when you were a kid, I don't know if your mother knitted or your grandmother knitted, and you had all this yarn, and it would end up in this big, not a neat ball of yarn, but an absolute mess, and you tried to find the end and tried to unravel it. And that's kind of the way I see what we're doing here. Because you talk to someone, they're going to give you such a bunch of lies that if you believe them, you're going to vote for the wrong way. You know, I've seen it happen so many times.
Well, it's funny because that applies to the presidential elections that we just witnessed.
Yes.
But let me go back to the theme of associations. I see the same thing happening in communities. They tell people that the board of directors are a bunch of thieves and that they're stealing money and that there's no need to pay for this or that. So what do? They get rid of a good board, and all of a sudden they went from heaven to hell.
Yes.
And it happens all the time. So it's the same thing. It's the misinformation, whether it's a federal election, state election, or a simple association election. That spin of passing around on incorrect information purposely to kind of manipulate the outcome of an election is historical, and it continues to happen. And guess what? It's getting worse.
It's getting a lot worse. It's getting a whole lot worse. I mean, you need transparency. If you're in an HOA, you absolutely need to know what's happening with your money. You absolutely need to know what's going on. And there's no way you can make a decision. There's no way you can make a good decision based on the information you're being given, because that's subject to manipulation. That's subject to being twisted.
That is absolutely correct, and a big problem in association living, unfortunately.
Yeah, if you're writing legislation, I'm going to put a little bug in your ear. This is one of my bugaboos. When you have a conflict between a homeowner and the association, and it ends up going to either arbitration or mediation, some kind of private settlement type of deal, where it does not go to court, and there's an agreement that's reached. Part of that agreement quite often includes a gag order. So if the board says, yes, we will pay you X number of dollars because what we did was wrong, but we're not going to admit guilt, and you are not allowed to talk about it, because if you talk about it, you know, you're in violation of this agreement, and we can take you to court, and we can take all the money back away from you and all of that. So now you've been harassed, abused, and all the rest of it for a number of months, maybe even years, by the HOA, who was doing something they did not have the authority to do. You go to court, you settle the case, you accept a gag order. You cannot talk about it. So now your neighbors are paying to cover that penalty that you're getting. You're not allowed to say, hey, I was given $100,000 because the board called me this and they wouldn't do this, and we ended up going to arbitration and I was awarded this much. But it's your money I'm taking, and you have no right to know what is going on and what is happening with your money. And I think gag orders in HOAs should be banned.
Well, that's going to go back to the lawmakers to try to be able to deal with those particular situations. And that goes back to where I was saying earlier in our program that, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, a lot of these problems we have are going to require additional legislation, either to add or to remove. But with your original comments, I wish it were simple. It's just having a simple ability to follow some kind of common sense rules in communities, and government did not have to continue to dominate with statutes to supersede what a community can do for themselves. And of course, as we said, the special interest, it's not going away anytime soon. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars just alone here in the state of Florida that are involved with managing and with the maintenance and maintaining of these communities. So it's a big industry, big industry.
Nationwide, I think it's about $95 billion with a B. That's
wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? $95 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extra money that's coming out of homeowners' pockets. They could have nicer houses without all this nonsense for that kind of money.
Well, again, and it's sad because a lot of people ask me, they still, you know, pull me over and say, what do you think about buying in an association? A lot of times I have to tell them.
Don't.
I personally tell them, do not. I'd tell her you're better off buying a single family home somewhere and doing that. Because once you get into these associations, I always go back to my little quote that I love, and I always used to tell everybody. They used to tell me, oh, we're in a great community. Everything's great. And I used to tell them, you may be in heaven now, but you're just one election away from hell.
Yeah.
And that's still good today. And I'd like to tell you a little more about that. We have a mutual friend down here in Florida that I love. This gentleman, he just doesn't give up. You talk about energy and being devoted to this.
A newlywed, right?
Newlywed also, yes.
A newlywed also. You know who you are, Jan. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, and there's a man that deserves not only congratulations for his new bride and new life, but also for the hard work that he continues to provide. And hopefully this year, you know, one of his many dreams will come true to try to help out those that live in homeowner associations in the state of Florida. And I tell you, I love to hear him speak because he is so knowledgeable and understands the balance needed, but also is disgusted. And I'm sure he tells you every time you've had him on your program how bad all this stuff is manipulated in this entire state.
It's not just in Florida. It's all over the country. But here's what's really scary about Florida. So many retirees go down there, and it's the elderly that are particularly vulnerable to a lot of the scams and the shams that go on in HOAs. And I tell you, Julio, the older I get, I'm beginning to think it would be nice to have something like a condo where I don't have to, you know, I can get into an elevator and get out and not have to worry about stairs and yards. But then I think it's not carefree living. I mean, you look at it and you think about it and you think, oh, it must be so handy to just not, you know, to go and shut the door and forget about it. But the reality is that that's not the case at all. That is not the case.
It would be, I think that would be everybody's dream. But again, Shu, I always tell people that what I'd like to see is definitely not the reality here in Florida, as you're saying, you know, around the United States. It's horrible. I've actually traveled overseas on vacation. And of course, since this is the world that I live in, I've even checked into how associations work in places like South America and so forth. And I will tell you that I've spoken to board members in communities. I always tend to bring up this conversation. So where do you live? And do you live in an apartment or a condo? And most of these places are very, very much landlocked. They live in an association environment. And they're not having the problems that we're having here. And a lot of those communities are self-managed by the board members. But they do have one thing. They have the background and they do have the know-how. And the courses are requirements so that they know what they're doing because they're handling people's money. But they definitely don't have all the problems that we're having in Florida and in the United States.
Well, if you go back to parts of Europe, you look at Paris and you look at Switzerland and England and Germany and all of these places, and they have multi-unit developments. I mean, you look in the heart of Paris, all of these buildings are hundreds of years old. They're not just cardboard boxes that were thrown together and taped together with scotch tape and sold for $1 million and with an association that went along with it. These are buildings that have survived the test of time, and people own their units and have owned their units for generations. And I wanted to know how it worked. I mean, how do you make it work? They attend an annual meeting. And if you're a member and if you own something, you are required to attend. The manager lays out the issues. We need to do this, we have to do the other, and all of these issues that come up. They're given a number of bids. It's the members who sit down and they talk about it. They pick a contractor. They decide how much they're going to increase the dues. They decide, they come up with a budget. They instruct the manager to do the work. Get this contractor, pay him X number of dollars, here's the money, collect so much from everyone, do that. There's none of this nonsense about managing the people. Oh, you may only have your grandchildren visit on alternate Saturdays, or, none of this nonsense, absolutely none of this nonsense. And when there's no hierarchy within the membership, people are friends and they work together. Julio, it's a whole different environment.
But I know it is, but unfortunately, the same people who should be listening to this and adhering to it are the first ones to request more and more protection from the government. So if that's the trend, you will get it definitely in the form of regulatory laws and a regulatory division. And that's it. You're going to depend on government to be the ones who are there always supposedly to protect you. And as we've spoken already, their interests a lot of times are not the same ones as the people requesting protection. It's going to be for the interest groups that want to make money off these communities. That's the sad truth. That's the way it is. That's the way I see it continuing. I just don't see that changing anytime soon.
It's not going to change, Julio, because we're building them that way. Because when we build these cardboard boxes held together with scotch tape, we include the governing documents that ensures that the industry, the special interests, get a big chunk out of what you are buying, because
that's
it's
correct.
Designed that way. Imagine building a high rise and not having a condo in place. I mean, everybody would probably go apoplectic. Oh my God, that would never work. But anyway, that's just one of my bugaboos, and has been one of my bugaboos for a long, long time. So
I understand.
I just thought, if you need some ideas for Florida, especially since you've got all these seniors who are being used and abused down there, this might be. These are some of my bugaboos.
Well, luckily for the first time, we actually have a group of young men and women uniting. They're actually demonstrating against the abuse in condominiums. So, every year, believe it or not, I get a little bit more encouraged that more people are taking notice of what I've been yelling about. Probably not for half as long as you have, but at least since the year 2002 when I started with this. And more people are realizing, God, that guy Robina was correct. Look at the mess going on here. How do we fix it? And I wish more people would devote shows like this to it, whether you're in agreement 100% with the ideas or not. But, this wheel is broken, and somebody needs to fix it. whether we go back, whether we go forward, whether we legislate, whether we enforce. The bottom line, it's just a mess, and it does need to be addressed, and it's happening. Like I said, we just there's groups that I've been approached about lately that are going to have demonstrations here. They're going to the Capitol here in Florida. They're even reaching out to the Trump administration to see how they can help, maybe get involved in this kind of stuff. I'm hoping that they'll have success in being able to provide what I call quality of life, but more importantly, peace of mind for those that live in associations.
Home sweet home, right?
If you say so.
I mean, isn't that what we all
that's
want?
That's not what's happening.
It's not
that's what we all want. That's not what they're getting, unfortunately.
What I wanted to do with this show was, first of all, to put the information out there, because when I started this show 17 years ago, Julio, we didn't have access to so much information, and a lot of the homeowners were floundering. What it's turned out to be is a depository of ideas and thoughts and a whole discussion. And that is, you need that, because it's not one person who's going to fix it. Not my ideas, not your ideas, not any one person's ideas, but a conglomeration of ideas. You know, somebody listening to this show is going to say, Julio said, and that's right, and that's a starting point. So I think what we need somehow is a way of convening nationwide and just coming up with ideas, but it's going to be difficult because everybody's going to want to pull in a different direction. But I think if you generally have an idea of where you want to go and then try to figure out a way to get there, what do you think?
I think it's a good starting ground, and I think that everyone really needs to consider it. But you know what we need more than anything?
What's
we
that?
Need more involvement from people. People do need to get involved. I mean, it's their homes. It's their retirement, their nest eggs. And I just don't see at times any reactions until it's too late and they find themselves caught up in a problem in the community. So we're more reactionary than we are being proactive. That's a huge problem.
You're absolutely right. Here's what I see as the fear factor, and how do we get over that?
That is an interesting question. We try to tell people constantly when we talk, and I still speak in front of large groups, you know, every so often. Periodically, I get invited to go speak in front of a group of people, and I tell them there is nothing to fear here. The only thing you need to fear is board members, and if you don't get involved, that are going to wipe you out. Management companies are going to wipe you out. And I need to tell them, guys, when was the last time you allowed somebody to come into your checkbook and take control of it and do what they want to do with it? So you've got to get them to understand what the relationship is here between the owners and what they're allowing to be as part of their elected government, like I say, in these associations. You know, they're getting more and more with the program. And I said, the more the media does these stories, we have stories just about every night in both Spanish and in English language radio and TV. So I think more and more people are becoming very aware of what the situation is and what they need to do to get involved.
Well, I think the stories are good, but is there a point where they start getting desensitized? You know, at first... I'm sorry?
That has happened. People have become desensitized for a while because they complain and yell and they didn't see anything. And this goes back to the beginning of our show. Do I think there's a good chance this year? Yes, because finally people have another reason to breathe. They understand that finally we got a state attorney that decided that she wants to start doing her job and to possibly arrest individuals and go after the fraud. And we got lawmakers that are willing to do something. We got the media running these stories every single day. So we have a newfound interest in trying to make things happen. But the thing is that we are trying to get more and more people involved because we need more and more and more participation. So there's an excitement out there, I guess a new feeling that things can happen, grand juries, fraud, all the little different things we spoke about are starting to, again, kind of give people a little, you know, hope that there will be some changes. But we're far from done. This is an ongoing, you know, work in progress, and we hope that more and more unit owners will get involved with some ideas.
What scares me is that we're looking at this. I mean, if you're looking at fixing it, we're just taking little bits of the whole thing. We're taking the fraud. We're taking elections. We're taking, just minor little portions of it and trying to tweak it. But we're not really looking at the big picture. We're really not looking at the main reason that we're having all of these problems. And I would like to see us do that and take care of the cold and not just the sneezing and the runny nose and the watery eyes and the headache, and because that's not taking care of everything. We're focusing on all the little bits, but not the big problem, the big issue, which is, in my opinion, we've just totally watered down the whole concept of property ownership. Hello, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I didn't know if we got cut off or not. I know you're in the car.
No, I'm listening. I'm taking it all in. And like I said, Shu, you should move to Florida and advocate for these things, because God knows that would be a different approach with a breath of fresh air. And then you could understand what the feelings are in general here in Florida.
Well, I think one of the big problems you have in Florida is all the retirees who move down there, and they want to be taken care of. Not necessarily roll up their sleeves and start fighting.
Well, that we hear all the time. We moved here. We retired here. Last thing I want to do is get involved in anything here. I'm here to enjoy my life, what I've got left of it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get involved in any of this. So it's a very different world. Remember, we here in Florida and California are the two states where most retirees come after they're done working. And the last thing they want to do is get involved in one of these nightmares called a board of directors or going to board meetings. But they don't understand that they're buying into these communities and they're going to have to deal with it, whether they like it or not.
Well, you have the Sun Belt states, which, you know, California, Florida, Arizona, Alabama, maybe not so much Alabama, but New Mexico, and that's where a lot of the retirees go because they don't want to. They stick their snow. Actually, in Arizona, they had the desert landscaping, and they'd stick a snow shovel in the middle of the lawn and with a sign that said "Rest in peace."
That's correct.
Rest in peace. But then they move to Florida, and you've got a dusty mailbox, and you've got to have the St. Augustine grass, and even though we have a drought, and St. Augustine is very thirsty, and it needs a whole lot of water. I mean, it's like one thing clashes against the other. People are going thirsty, but no, you've got to water your St. Augustine grass, and you're not allowed to have something that's more drought resistant, because we say that this is what you have. I mean, this is the whole thing. It's irrational. It makes no sense when you think about it.
And I have to agree with that. So all I will tell you is that we're going to continue to plug away at this issue down here, you know, with the help of many individuals like Jan, some, like I said, some new lawmakers willing to look at this, with local pilot programs for fraud, any way and anything that can be done. And maybe someday somebody will come up with an idea, hey, why don't you just remove all these laws and go back to what we call simple dumb and just, you know, try to make sure that the maybe less is more, and we'll get to this point here in Florida. But I'm always going to be certain that we will always need the enforcement arm of least of law enforcement. So when they go astray, at least we can put an end to that.
I suggested to Senator Mike Schneider of Nevada, when he was on the show one day, I said, hey, Mike, why don't you deregulate associations and see what happens? And there was this dead silence at the other end of the microphone, and he comes back. He says, are you crazy? It's like we cannot even understand the concept of letting adults manage themselves. I mean, are you crazy? Yeah. Totally insane.
Well, that's also the mindset of government. Let the people do what? Govern themselves?
Yeah.
No way.
They decide what color they're... Yeah. I mean, how could that possibly happen? Property values might plummet if you did something ridiculous like that and let people do that. So you're in the good fight. I'm so glad we haven't, that homeowners, at least in Florida, have not lost you. I know...
We're still here.
I know you're still the Energizer Bunny all over the place, although you do have competition now. But you're still my favorite Energizer Bunny.
I appreciate that. I really do.
And so when does the legislature go in session, or is it in session now? And at
it goes in. They're in committee weeks here. They're back home by May 2nd. So normally, March and April are the 2 months that they go at it. And like I said, they're back, and they'll be back and done by May 2nd. So the next 60 days, starting at the end of February, early March, is when the budget for the state of Florida and when the laws of the state of Florida are decided.
So actually any legislation regulating HOAs has already been written, right?
And most of them have been written, and now it goes through the process of being heard, being debated, and either accepted or neglected or rejected, as I say, here in Florida. So it's going to be interesting what happens in the next 60 days.
Is there anything in particular that they're contemplating this year that you think might be helpful to some of the other states who are going through the same process right now?
I could not tell you that. I really wouldn't know. That's a very broad question, and I just don't understand all the problems in all the different states. So I could not answer that even if I wanted to.
No, but I mean, is there something that you find particularly interesting that you think would be particularly helpful to Floridians? Chances are it's going to be the same thing. Listen, we have the same problems, and the reason we have the same problems is because we have the same bad actors throughout the country. So in essence, if it's happening in one state and it's not yet happening in another, it will. So is there something that's been, I mean, you've been involved in writing the legislation, right?
That's correct.
Is there but some...
The question in general, I don't know. I'd have to really look at what the problems are in one state or another state. I think that one thing I'll end with, and I do have to leave on this note, the deal is here that we need enforcement. I think that, as I've made it clear in the program, you can write all the laws in the world, but if you don't have the enforcement part of it, it's useless to continue to write legislation if you don't have the arm that's going to be what actually enforces you. And that's just it in a nutshell. There's something that you can apply to every state. Every lawmaker should agree with you that you write a million laws, but if you don't have the arm to enforce it, it's just a waste of time and effort and money.
I agree with you. You had the DBPR enforcing some of it. That's not working out, is it?
That's not working out either. That's useless. That's a government bureaucracy with people justifying jobs and nothing being done to protect Floridians.
So are they going to take things out of the DBPR and put it in a different place, or what's the deal?
That's some of the suggestions. Some of the suggestions for this year is, what are they going to do? Are they going to give them more power? Are they going to grow the number of employees? What exactly is the future of DBPR will be one of the issues that will be tackled during this legislative session.
Julio, thank you so very much. I know that you have to go. Again, thank you for taking time out. My best wishes for your mother's speedy recovery.
I appreciate that, and thank you for doing this. And again, I wish you a wonderful Valentine's Day to you and all your listeners.
Thank you, Julio. You take care.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.
Bye. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.